Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is true, our living God. He loves us. The Lord is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I was thinking just last night how things have changed. And the Lord told me something, saying, His word came to me saying that a darkness has come upon His people. And the revivals of old won't work. The revivals we're used to won't work now. He said, because His people have sowed into this darkness. And I don't like talking about this, but this is what He gave. I went back and I wrote it down and I looked at it. And I thought about Balaam. Balaam was a legitimate prophet of God. He loved God. God loved him. But when King Balak was afraid of the nation of Israel leaving Egypt towards Canaan land, he was so afraid he tried to pay the prophet to curse Israel. And the Lord told him not to go to that king. And he continually sent people, men more honorable than the first, and then more honorable than the second, until Balaam went. And he offered him all, he offered him a lot of fortune to do this, to curse Israel. So the prophet began to desire the money. And he went. And he became God's enemy in doing so. And when I read the story, it looked like Balaam did nothing wrong. It looked like he did nothing wrong. When I read the story, I read it again and again, because in Revelations, I think it was chapter 2 or 3, it was chapter 2 or 3, Jesus said that he taught Balak how to curse Israel. And I went back and researched it again and again. How did he do this? And I was never satisfied. And then I read the next chapter. After I finished all reading about Balaam's discourse and everything he said and did, the next chapter, I think it's Numbers chapter 24, verse 1, said, "And the men of Israel were sleeping with the daughters of Moab." And I realized, in his discourse, he gave this desperate man the clue he was after, so that he could put a snare against Israel, which it worked too. His witchcraft worked. He got the daughters of Moab to seduce many men in Israel, and it became a plague. Many people died because of it. And then a religion was started called Baal worship. And I wondered, how did this happen? And I went right back to the parable of the sower. You know, the first ground was hard ground. The people that won't receive the word, they're like the wayside. But, you know, the ground that people walk on is hard ground. Nothing will grow for many years till it softens. And men's hearts are that way. When you give them the word, they hate it. They reject it. They won't receive it, and it won't become faith for them. And the Holy Spirit will have nothing to work with to get them out of the danger they're in. These are people God loves, but they don't love God. And God has to do something with sin. He cannot keep it. If people don't follow Him, they exclude themselves. And the Lord has no pleasure in man's death and man's travel to hell. He doesn't like it, but it has to happen. They can't go to heaven in that in a sinful condition. Nobody can. Even Christians that start playing with the world again, they can't go either. All this is true. And the reason people go after the world is because of their enticements, their entanglements with the world. Some people harden their heart and won't receive the word which can save their soul. That's the first type of hearts that Jesus talked about. The second was seed sown on stony ground. They receive the word with gladness. They see how it can bless their life. But when they're challenged because of the word, when the enemy comes with challenges and temptations, they drop. They let everything drop. They have no root in themselves. So a great number of people have, once they were challenged because of the word, they fell away. They didn't, when they were alive, they didn't take time and charge their heart with the word of God. Like the five wise virgins prepared themselves to stand. They received God's word in their heart. And people interpret the parable of the 10 virgins many ways. If you go to a Pentecostal church, that's the people with the Holy Spirit versus the people that have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what he's saying. It goes back to building your life on a rock, a solid foundation. And that's doing the words that Jesus said. Do. That's your rock. What did Jesus say? What did he do? That is your rock. He made it clear. So it's up to us to fill our heart with God's word so that we can stand in the evil day. Many people won't do that because people don't study. They don't have a passion for the love of God enough to give it that time. When you study God's word, you have a hunger for what's right, and God can easily help you learn. And he can show you things to come. You'll appreciate the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When he gives you a dream, you'll know the interpretation better because you fill your heart with his word. When God gives you a dream and you struggle to understand it, let it be a sign that you need to draw near to the Lord so you can get the interpretation. Now, I've had dreams that I wondered about. I've had dreams that I understood. And most of my dreams, I have to ask the Lord to show me how it fits. And he gives me the interpretation. But I continually listen to his word. It's not magic. It's not preference. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. He doesn't favor one man above another. Some people are more receptive than others for the same reasons that Jesus gave in the parable of the sower. So you have people that won't receive the word of God. And then you have those who are on stony ground. They had a love and passion for God, but they didn't take time and receive the word when they were having those good days. They kind of let the major things slip away from them. And once challenged, once tempted, once devastated, then they drop away and get angry with God because of whatever happened, whatever Satan did against them. They blame God. They don't have root. If you're standing out to the tragedy, you got root in you. Make it stronger. There's no limit to how strong you can be. The wise virgins, they kept oil in their lamp. They kept word in their heart. They maintained what Jesus said. They trimmed their lamps. They didn't go around shady business. They left the worldly things alone. They didn't, when people make evil jokes and gestures and evil TV shows, that vexes their spirit. But when you're used to things that you know are blatantly wrong, that's a signal that you need the Word of God to counter it. You're under attack. Long before the tragedy. And then there are those who worry about the cares of this life. How am I going to make it? How am I going to pay what I got? And that's like the seed that's sown among thorns. The heart can produce, it's receptive to the Word, loves the Word. But the cares of other things entering in chokes the Word. Desires, enticements. When a person's enticed, they're trapped by desire. I've heard so many reports of men watching pornography now. And it's choking the Word. They have no appetite for the Word as they continue down that path, that slippery slope. But, you know, pornography, that's idolatry. That's Satan's attempt to make men worship a woman's body. And her body can be more important than all the words of God. That's backwards. That's confusion. And it's a trap. You're looking at the gift God gave us the wrong way. You can't look at, if you look at a woman and lust after, you miss the point. That's not of God. Love is of God. We love our wives. We appreciate our wives. We fellowship with our wives. But you don't have to go around lusting after all these women. God made women beautiful, and He made men attractive to women because He's good that way. And everything that He gave us, sex is of God, but He put it in a marriage, a covenant that should never, ever be broken. And sometimes people want out of that covenant. Sometimes men do it, sometimes women do it. For the same reasons in the soul below, in the parable of the sower. These are the three reasons people leave God. They don't have any word in them. They don't have enough word in them. And then they don't. They look at other things and desire it more than God. The problem is, they don't. The worldly things attack your love for God. The worldly things hinder you from understanding. It hinders you from treasuring what's right. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. It's not hard to understand what he's doing. He kills, he steals, destroys. It takes a long time. It takes a very long time for the process to unfold. But when it does, once it unfolds, then you have to, you're on the bottom looking up. You're down looking out. It's not funny. It's not good. God loves us, and He's here to help us to stand. The ways of the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is how Satan, this is how Balaam fell. This is how the enemy's attack has robbed the church. And now the Lord is about to return. Why did the Lord tell my people my return is imminent and to be ready that they be not left? That they be not left. Why would he have to say that? if it wasn't credible. A darkness that God can't put a revival on top of has happened. And he told me things that I have to understand and grasp. But the same reason Balaam went south is the same reason the church went south. Not everybody, though. Daniel said, those that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. This is indicative of revelation knowledge. People that appreciate and receive every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. They grow stronger and stronger. They know God. You can't tell them lies of the pit and they believe it. You can't tell them things that's untrue and they receive it. Balaam loved what Balak was offering. And he fell for it. He went from being, he prophesied some of the things prophesied in Revelation. He prophesied about the ships of Kittim, which is still unclear to me. This man was a true and mighty prophet. But whether you're a prophet or not, an apostle or not, a pastor or not, a teacher or an evangelist, if you don't love God from the heart, you still have to go in the Word of God and receive what he's saying and act on it and do the living words of Jesus to build your life on a solid rock. And people have not done that. And that's why the darkness has come. That's why pornography is among men in the church. And other problems. And it saddens me. The enemy couldn't come until there was a falling away. Some people say, well, that's the rapture. Some people say it's apostasy. I say it's both. The enemy can't come with the church in place. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church. That's the rock of revelation knowledge. I remember when Kenneth Copeland used to teach on it. How did Peter know that Jesus was Lord? The Father told him. That's revelation knowledge. That's the rock that the gates of hell can't prevail against. But if the church goes apostate or raptured, then he will. When there's enough Christians too weak to stand, he would do these things. And it will happen just like Revelation said. Whether you believe in the pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, or whatever, when the people are too weak to stand, the enemy will come in like a flood. It'll be just like the days of Revelation again. I mean, that's what's going to form. Why would Jesus say he had to shorten the days or nobody would stand? These are our clues. These are real scriptures. And the Lord has shortened the days so we could survive this, so that there would be faith when he comes back. And when he comes back, he will have faith at the rapture and also when he returns and touches the ground. Consider these things. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.